Welcome to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. I am Doc Mike, host of the podcast. A series of Forrest Gump-like events have brought me to where I am, a small-town country dentist. My experiences in country living, country freedom, country dentistry, and my reaction to pertinent current events may help you live a life of more freedom and less worry. Thank you for choosing the Redneck Dentist Podcast. Now let's get to today's freedom-inspiring episode. Hey, this is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist. Welcome to the Redneck Dentist Podcast here on Real Liberty Media. This is the fastest hour on Real Liberty Media, and I don't turn left. I'm just a guy having fun, shining some light on the darkness. Hey, if you're on a social media platform of any kind, please post that we're live. Come join us in the chat room. Thank you for downloading the podcast. I appreciate any kind of support that you give us. I really do appreciate it. I think you're the best audience in the world. And let's get to it. Hey, Sunday, you can catch the Redneck Dentist Podcast on Wednesdays and Saturdays, 9 p.m. Eastern. And Hal Anthony has a two-hour show on Sundays at 3 p.m. Eastern. 2 hours packed full of information. He doesn't use breaks. He just goes full on for 2 hours. Tons of information, stuff that you're not going to hear anywhere else. That guy has a tremendous knack for putting some things together. So check out Behind the Woodshed with Hal Anthony, 3 p.m. Eastern time. And he just did his 500th episode. I already kind of mentioned it once. But man, that's awesome, right? 500 episodes at one show a week. That's fantastic. Well, if you're a believer in, you know, the mainstream media, which I am not, the big news of the day. Can you even guess? Did you even pay attention what the mainstream media has as their big news of the day? Actually, for 2 or 3 days now, the big news is Trump's tax fraud, right? And I thought it was kind of funny, and the kind of reason I went back to look to see what the mainstream media's big story of the day, well, at least last I checked was a few hours ago, was the Trump tax fraud story. Really, when the walls are crumbling around the mainstream media, you know what their big story, I'm referring to the Twitter files, of course, and all the corruption that's being exposed by Elon Musk. And it's kind of funny to see the responses. If you look at the left-wing podcast, the progressive liberal podcast, they're all just saying it's a big, you know, nothing burger. And it's kind of funny how that term has traveled throughout the left or progressive socialist podcast. It's a big nothing burger. You see it in the comments on the Twitter files, too, a lot. Kind of funny that they, you know, kind of, even though, what I think is interesting is even though, like today, anybody can do a podcast, literally anybody can fire up and get a podcast out there, and I think more people should. I'm always advocating to be the information source, man. You can do it. It's a good way to get out. I'm sure thousands of people have thousands more followers than I do because I really don't like the social media platforms. But hey, you know, I may have to get back into them or on them in a bigger way to get a bigger presence. But my point is, so you have all these people who have the option of coming on and doing their own thing, and yet you still hear the exact same terms that you will hear on the mainstream media's news sites, entertainment sites, what is the satirical sites, whatever you want to call them. So yeah, Trump tax fraud is the big story, while Twitter is exposing how the government colluded with private companies to, you know, squelch free speech, to stomp on Americans' First Amendment rights. But no, that's not a big deal. The big story is, you know, in one state in the United States, they, you know, somehow convicted somebody in the Trump organization of tax fraud. Okay, hey, if he committed tax fraud, there's a price to pay for it. That is not the big news of the day. The big news of the day is what affects every single American, and maybe throughout the world, you know, when you're talking about people having rights in general, and the right to free speech, I think should be universal. But you're seeing it being squashed in a lot of places. But the big story is, did the government actually collude with private entities to squelch free speech? And they surely did. And you can see it time after time in quotes from the Twitter files. Congratulations to Elon Musk for having the, you know, the stones to do it. Kind of funny, I was reading, and I wanted to mention the mainstream media isn't even covering the Twitter file. I haven't even seen mention of the Twitter files. And of course, they wouldn't dare do it. The state-run media, mainstream media, the state-run media, of course, I mean, what are they going to say? You know, they probably got calls too, but until somebody buys them out and releases all those emails and texts and well, I bet there's Twitters out there, and they're probably coming too. But yeah, they probably don't want to get too vocal about it. It's going to completely ruin their credibility, which, you know, I can't imagine anybody who actually listens to and pays attention to and puts any credence in anything that the mainstream media has to say. It's absolutely ridiculous, but you know, they're out there. I mean, I had a conversation today with a relative, and we were actually talking about another relative that totally believes in that stuff and, you know, follows it, you know, lockstep. And, of course, you know, they're beyond being saved, so you can't even talk any sense into them. Can't even have, like, a lively discussion or debate about, you know, what they're watching or hearing or whatever. And I'm always willing to defend anything that I pay attention to. But anyway, oh yeah, so Jack Dorsey, I thought this was interesting too. Jack Dorsey came out today and said, to Elon Musk, he said, if the goal is transparency to build trust, why not just release everything without filter and let people judge for themselves? But this is where he goes too far, including all discussions around current and future actions. And I just think to myself, Jack Dorsey, this was your baby. You had the opportunity to do the right thing, and you never did it. And now you want some kind of transparency? Guess what? You don't get that. You don't get to sit back now and tell Elon Musk how to do things. You had your opportunity and you failed miserably at it. You know, you let power get to your head. You let people get involved and do things with Twitter that should have never been done. It was almost a perfect platform for a while, but no, you let it go. But now you want, you know, any current and future actions to be out in the open. Too bad. Sit back and wait, and let's see. Maybe you have some skeletons in the closet there too. I mean, obviously you did, because, you know, you were the owner, and you should have known what was going on in your business, and you should have been aware of it, and you shouldn't have let it happen. But I'm sure, you know, your pockets got lined pretty good in the whole doings of. By the way, I just want to mention what my background is today. So this camera, it's called the Explore Live Nature Cams. And this one happens to be underwater manatee cam at Homosassa Springs. Fall in love with the beloved sea cows. So those are sea cows or manatees that are floating around next to me here. I just thought that was awesome. You know, I don't mention the background or the entertainment screen I'm using usually when I come on. We had the bears on for a while. That was awesome. And then there's an aquarium. That's pretty cool. And now the sea cows. So we're just going to cruise through some of these cameras until I get to the stories, and then we'll start putting the stories up. So anyway, what did Dorsey say? Oh yeah, Dorsey asked on so he asked about that total transparency on Twitter, responding to a statement issued by Musk, and he says make everything public now. And he said that he sent that to Musk after. I'm going to just show you this here. Former Twitter CEO urges Elon Musk to release everything after ex-FBI officials exit. Now, this is really hard to believe, you guys. I'm not kidding. Like, my jaw literally dropped when I heard this. So when Elon Musk and Taibbi were releasing these Twitter files last week, I think it was last Friday or Thursday or Friday, I can't remember, they actually had to run it through their own counsel, right? Their legal system, like, hey, we're going to release all these, you know, all this information. You know, if there's anything that we legally shouldn't do, you know, will you please advise us? Well, guess who the person vetting the Twitter files was? Well, up until, you know, yesterday, it was Jim Baker, former FBI agent. Let me see, where is that story? Come on, baby. My notes, they're all scrambled. Here it is. Twitter's Musk fires former FBI General Counsel James Baker. Twitter owner Elon Musk has confirmed that James Baker, the company's deputy general counsel and former FBI general counsel, was exited from the company on December 6th amid concern about Baker's possible role in suppression of information. Do you think? In light of concerns about Baker's possible role in suppression of information important to public dialogue, he was exited from Twitter today, Musk wrote on Twitter, without offering any more details on Baker's exit. So just imagine this. Elon Musk and Taibbi are putting together basically an expose, and they're putting the files out on Twitter. And the one person or one of the people that they send their files through to get vetted before the information is released is a guy who actually colluded in hiding the Hunter laptop story, and he, you know, worked with Twitter on suppressing information. Oh my gosh, that had to have been a stomach turner there when Musk figured out that the information that he was going to release. So just imagine this. You can bet that all the files that Musk and Taibbi wanted released didn't get released. They're going to. They are going to, I'm sure they didn't. I'm sure some of the information that they were going to release, this FBI guy squelched it before they were released. So, and as a matter of fact, I actually saw another story where they said, yeah, there was an addendum to the release of information because they, of course, found some information that didn't get vetted by this former FBI person. Can you even imagine how deep this is going? And, you know, how big kind of how big this information is getting out. I mean, I honestly kind of fear for Elon Musk. I do. Like, I'm sure he's a target. I'm sure he's pissing a lot of people off. I hope he has good security. Oh, I really do hope he has good security. But anyway, yeah, so, you know, the FBI guy who was, you know, a corrupt bastard in the FBI, and now he's a corrupt bastard in Twitter, at least he was, but now he's gone. When was that? exited from Twitter today. I think it was yesterday. It was either yesterday or today. But yeah, big news. I mean, that's big news, if you ask me, along with all the information that has come out about, you know, what was done at Twitter. And it just, you know, people are involved. Names are being dropped. You're finding out who is responsible for stepping on your First Amendment rights. And I have a couple of stories today that really kind of blow my mind from different parts of the country and different, really, political settings. Let's get to one. I got to find this one. Well, maybe I didn't actually. Oh, yeah, here it is. Let's go to this story here. This is really kind of a crazy story. Justice Gorsuch corners Colorado Solicitor General into admission about what the state did to cake baker Jack Phillips. I'm just going to tell you basically what happened and the gall of this Solicitor General in Colorado. So Gorsuch was actually kind of asking him, you know, what steps they took against the cake maker, Jack Phillips. And when the Solicitor General said, well, you know, we had him attend some, some educational course, you know, information. The judge asked him, he says, well, what was that, a re-education? Was that a re-education camp, basically? And he was like, well, no, it's not a re-education camp. We just wanted to make sure that he understood our laws. Now, this guy is a guy that I think needs to make the list of people to keep your eye on for future events, let's say. You know, because I'm telling you, I've seen this, I think we saw this all during COVID too. You know, you give somebody the tiniest bit of authority, and man, some of them can take it so far. Like, yeah, you can't do anything to me, so I'm just going to have you, you know, do the dance until I'm done with you. So I think, you know, basically what this judge is saying, I don't know, I can't read the tea leaves, but he's basically saying, dude, you screwed up. You basically sent this guy to a re-education camp to try and change his mind about his religious beliefs. And that is the kind of thing that they do in China. And that's why so many of these progressive, liberal, Democrat, whatever you want to call them, think China is such a great country. Because they do send their citizens to re-education camps to get them thinking the right way. And that's going on right here in the good old United States, right in front of our faces, man. And it's amazing to me. I'm not kidding. Having lived in the era that I've lived, it's shocking to me that somebody thinks they could do that to another human being in the United States of America and get away with it. There's something very unnerving about that. You know, this Solicitor General, I didn't look into his background. I would assume he's a lawyer. And yeah, I think some of these lawyers, I think some of these people go to law school just thinking, I can't wait. Ooh, I can't wait till I get my first, like, legal authority so I can start disciplining people and forcing them to think the way I want them to think. We'll just send them to a re-education camp because we just want you to understand what the law is here in Colorado. And just think of this for a minute, too, man. Like Colorado, yeah, supposedly, you know, they want all these freedoms, like, you know, pot shops, and they have them, you know, and they want people to be free to be able to do some things. But don't you dare try and exercise your religious freedom in this state. We will have none of that. You'll toe the line, or off to the camp you go. And I can imagine too, man, once, you know, one of these entities has your ability to make a living under their thumb, you know, and they're holding that over your head until you comply, God, it's got to be difficult, man. Because, you know, you just want to feed your family. Like, you want to make a living. You want to do what makes you happy. If it's baking cakes for people, you want to bake cakes for people. But you don't want to violate your religious beliefs. You don't want to, you know, you don't want to step outside the lines of your religious beliefs. And I admire people like that, who stand up for their beliefs, no matter what. You know, in the face of their family not being able to earn a living at what they were doing for years, they're like, yeah, well, I'm sorry, man, but this is my belief, and I'm not changing it. I'll tell you, this is honestly why I didn't get a, what do you call that, vaccine waiver. Oh, you know, they said, oh, you could get a religious waiver. Well, I could, but my religion didn't say a damn thing about not taking a vaccine. Oh, but that's only waiver you can get is a religious waiver. Okay, so what? You want me to lie about, you know, who I am to get your stupid waiver? Well, I'm not going to do that because one of my beliefs is that you just don't go around lying about something to get something that you want or to avoid something you don't want. You don't need to lie. I should just be able to simply say, no, I'm not taking your stupid jab. No, I'm not attending your woke reprogramming so I can continue to be a dentist in Oregon. Sorry. Luckily, you know, I'm stubborn enough to be able to sit through training that is opposed to my personal and religious beliefs and ignore it. Not pay attention to it. That would be kind of stupid. I want to know what they're saying and why they're saying it and what they're trying to do. But yeah, even the states have these stupid laws about relicensing now that you have to take a certain kind of education so that you're woke enough to continue practicing dentistry in Oregon. I mean, maybe I won't be after this month. I think my license is good through March 31st. Yeah, I have to renew after the first of the year. We have like 90 days to do it. But yeah, you have to be re-educated. You have to make sure you sit through the, you know, training so you're, you know, properly aware of all the different pronouns you have to use today. Yeah, I know, thank you. But anyway, God, how did I get way off on that? Oh yeah, because that guy needs to go. That's the bottom line. That guy needs to go. After an intense back and forth, Gorsuch questioned Olson about the legal remedy that Colorado imposed against Phillips for not having baked a wedding cake for a same-sex couple. Though Olson denied it was a re-education program per se, what he described was a re-education program. Mr. Phillips did go through a re-education training program pursuant to Colorado law. Did he not? Gorsuch asked. He went through a process that ensured he was familiar with, Olson responded. It was a re-education program, right? Gorsuch interjected. It was not a re-education program, Olson fired back. You know, that's the That's the program right there. If you say it enough, it eventually becomes true. That's what these people believe. If you just keep repeating your lie, eventually it's just the truth. Eventually. It's going to take a while, and I don't think Gorsuch is going to fall for it necessarily, and didn't fall for it. But yeah, that's the plan right there. Just keep repeating the lie. Oh my goodness. All right, back to the note section here. Man, I do have some kind of cool things to talk about today too. And I have a nice new clock right in front of me on my screen. What took me this long to get this nice clock here where I could actually see where I am without squinting down at the corner or trying to see the one up in the corner of the room that's completely dark and I have to kind of figure out what the digits are up there. No, I got a nice clear clock right in front of me. Okay, so where do we go next? Because I wanted to kind of continue on the Elon Musk thing because he did so many things this week that was really kind of awesome that I want to talk about a couple of them. So, yeah, this I called They Don't Believe in the Grinch. This was a kind of a funny deal here. Janitors union called a strike outside of Twitter. Now think about this. It's December, right? So some of those people, although I doubt many of these people are because they live in California, specifically San Francisco, they probably don't believe in Christmas, but and which is why maybe they made this mistake, uncalculated error. Janitors union called a strike outside of Twitter, so Elon Musk canceled its contract and fired the janitors. I mean, take that. How'd your strike go, by the way? That work out well for you? I said it was a heartwarming story for sure. Janitors hired to clean Twitter headquarters in San Francisco, California, protested after 20 employees were fired. Apparently, they had 20 too many janitors. And Elon's like, yeah, no. I think one per floor is enough. You know, we don't need 20 extra janitors here. So off you go. Go find another job. Plenty of them out there. I mean, literally, you probably don't have to walk two blocks and find a sign that says, you know, help wanted. You know, janitors, help wanted, janitors, come on in. So the social media company bought by Elon Musk fired the rest of them. Critics of Musk are outraged that he would fire the workers just weeks before Christmas. Right? So isn't it funny that now California, suddenly they believe in Christmas when, you know, 20 or however many extra janitors were fired and they're all out of work? Yeah, that's too bad. I think you should have thought about that before you went on strike. I can't imagine how cush the job of being a janitor in Twitter must be. Actually, I take that back. Let's say before Elon, it probably would have sucked a lot because I heard that a lot of those people were just filthy pigs, like they didn't clean up after themselves because, you know, because they were the chosen ones, basically. You know what I'm saying? Like, so they just eat and leave their mess, or they dump something on the floor, they just leave it, you know, and probably they're filthy in the bathroom. I used to work in a public square area when I was in college, and I had, you know, one of my jobs was to clean up the food court, which that was kind of normal, but cleaning the bathrooms, man. And there's one way to figure out which is the dirtier of the genders, and that's to actually be a janitor who has to clean restrooms. And I'm telling you, it's a toss-up. It really is. People are disgusting in the restroom. I don't know where they learned their bathroom habits, but I clearly remember what that job was like, man. I wish I had a hazmat suit back then. That was back in the early 80s. Wait. Oh, yeah, it was in the early 80s. Yeah, it was horrible. But anyway, it was a job. It helped pay the bills. It was great. Yeah, so I guess there's going to be a few janitors looking for work in San Francisco. So, hey, San Fran, if you're looking for janitors, there's a bunch of them available. Might have to spoil them a little bit to get them to actually come to work for you, but apparently there's a bunch of janitors available. Okay, and so moving on then. Let's see, I did kind of cover that story. Yeah, Twitter literally hired the FBI. So basically this is back to the story of James Baker. Twitter's Musk fires former FBI General Counsel James Baker. And it just goes back to the story that, like, James Baker was hired by Twitter in 2020. So he left the FBI in 2018, and then he joins Twitter in 2020. Oh, I wonder what he was doing there. Hang on. I guess we're going to know what he was doing there. He actually is one of the ones who said, let me see, what did he say? He actually said that he thinks the story about the Hunter Biden laptop should still be censored just because we don't know where it came from. He said, well, so it added that Baker wrote in an email after Twitter censored the laptop story that we need more facts to assess whether the material were hacked, and said Baker had advised that the story should remain censored nonetheless. Right? So what's terrifying about this whole scenario with Twitter is that we're seeing how the FBI is totally in the Democrats' pocket. They're working for the Democrats. They are working against Trump and the Republicans or conservatives, whatever you want to call it, whoever you want to point your finger at, that the FBI doesn't want in power. You could look at it that way, or you could just say the FBI is in the pocket of the Democrats and the progressives, and that's where they're going to stay. It's so different from 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. Actually, it's not that different, come to think of it. I can think of a few things that the FBI did that should have given us a little heads up about this. But yeah, the fact that they're being so open about it now, so blatant about it now, it's not even like they're trying to hide what they do, well, except by hiding behind a platform that was owned by the mainstream media. And, I guess that's a pretty good place to hide, honestly. Or it had been until somebody came along with, more money than they can spend in several lifetimes, and they're like, hey, I think I'll just buy Twitter, get to the bottom of this story. Oh my goodness. Interesting to watch this play out for sure. Okay, so where are we at now? Oh, I do want... Okay, we're going to get off the Twitter topic for a little bit, I think. It seems like... Yep, we're done with that. So, I think you've heard me talk before about wind power and what a waste of money wind power is. It doesn't ever pay for itself. Wait, where in the heck is my story? Okay, wait a minute. No, not that one. This one. Oh yeah, here we go. Yeah, if you want to buy something worthless, so here's the craziest. Now, I'm not kidding. When I first read this story, I was like, what? Like, who would do this? Well, I'll tell you who will do this. Idiots will do this. So this is the story. Sale jumpstarts floating offshore wind power in U.S. waters. So basically what's happening, Tuesday marks the first ever U.S. auction for leases to develop commercial scale floating wind farms in the deep waters off the West Coast. Oh, this is a beautiful picture. Let's just take this in for a minute, okay? So here you have mounted on a floating platform the most ridiculous, complete waste of energy ever. Now, what better way to waste more frickin' money than to actually take this piece of crap and put it on some floats and haul it out to the deep waters of the ocean? I'm not kidding. And some idiots will actually bid on these leases. I can almost guarantee it. It's like, hey, you know what we need in this company? We need a gigantic write-off. Like, let's find something that is guaranteed to lose a few hundred million dollars. Hey, wind farm in the deep waters of the ocean. Let's put some money in that. This is a genius idea. Oh, I wish I had that much money. No, I don't. Honestly, I don't. One thing I am very happy with is where we are right now in our life right here on this beautiful little homestead. But, oh my God, I could not believe that this is actually... How in the hell are you going to get the power from these wind, floating wind turbines back to land? I'll tell you how. You're going to lay a big-ass cable... I don't know. I don't have the words, honestly, to describe the stupidity that would go into putting these wind turbines out in the ocean. I guess I'm assuming wind must blow every freaking day out on in the deep seas. Although I was on the deep seas several times, and there were days when it was just flat-ass calm, no wind. So I don't think that's it. I mean, maybe there's a tiny benefit. I guess I'll look into it just for my own assurance. But I'm telling you, the winds would have to pretty much blow constantly, like constantly, day and night, 24/7, just to keep your losses to a minimum. And I mean to keep your losses to a minimum. You're not going to make money. You're going to lose money. Whoever in the hell is stupid enough to bid on this? Yeah, probably only the government, who's probably issuing the leases. They gotta be. Oh, there'll be some green weenies out there that are like, hey, you know what? They just opened up the leases offshore in the deep seas for floating wind farms. We got to get in on that. Greenpeace is probably like, hey, we got a great idea. Place to invest our money for the future of the world. What would be funny as hell is if these wind turbines actually spun fast enough to suck the plastic out of the ocean and didn't just, you know, grind it up. Oh, maybe they could do that. Maybe they could hook those big old propellers. Now, this is an idea. Now, this is a freaking genius idea right here. Almost afraid to say it on the air because somebody will steal it for sure. What they really ought to do is hook that big-ass propeller to a meat grinder and just have like it generate a little current to pull all of the trash in the ocean into the meat grinder, which is underwater, and just shred those plastics to the little tiny pieces so we could have more in our tuna and our salmon and in our seal meat. uh, Oh my God, honestly, 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 the most gigantic. I might have to get on board with this. You know what? I might have to actually get on board. I might have to open a website that's like, hey, looking for investors to invest in this giant wind farm out on the deep seas. We only need a few hundred million more dollars. We got to get these things up. The earth's going to end in 8 years, for God's sakes. We don't have time. I'm sorry, it's just too damn funny. Honest to God. Let's see. Oh, from Portland, Oregon. Good Lord. Tuesday marks the first ever U.S. auction of leases to develop commercial scale floating wind farms in the deep waters off the West Coast. Yeah, I just can't wait to see what kind of damage these things cause to the environment. And I'm not kidding about laying the cable. So how far out is the deep 25 miles offshore. So you're going to need a 25 mile long cable just to get the worthless crap power from this wind turbine to shore. Seriously. Like one cable. And that's just to the one wind turbine. Then I guess you're going to have to link the wind turbines together with a cable because you're not going to run a cable to every single wind turbine. That wouldn't make any sense. But, I mean, this doesn't make any sense whatsoever anyway. So, you might as well just go, oh, yeah, we're just going to run. So, can you imagine this? Just imagine any wind turbine farm you have seen in the United States. They're all over the place, not generating enough power to pay for themselves. They actually need to have their motors replaced before they've actually paid for themselves. The props disintegrate and break, and they need to be replaced. There's no place for them to go to be repurposed. They're ginormous, for crying out loud. So you're going to run. Let's say, so you've seen these wind farms. The turbines are what? I don't know. Let's be generous and say the wind turbines are a half a mile apart. I don't believe that's the case, but let's just say they're half a mile apart. So you're going to put a big ass floating wind turbine farm 25 miles offshore, floating wind turbine farm, and then you're going to run a cable to each one of them, like 25 miles of cable. So could you imagine every half mile of the beach, you're coming across another cable to another wind turbine? I'm sure that's not the way they're going to do it, but just imagine this. So you're going to have a string of wind turbines out there on the what do they call it? The deep waters off the West Coast. And you're still going to have storms. You're still going to have, tsunamis and hurricanes. They don't call them hurricanes in the Pacific. I forget what they call them, but and it's not a tropical storm. I forget what it is for the moment. It's okay. It doesn't matter. You're going to have storms. And you're going to have storm damage because these things are not going to be like perfectly stable. And you're going to have ship traffic coming through. And you're going to have wildlife like crawling up on these things and crapping on them and who knows what, nesting. And then you're going to have that one freaking seabird. You're going to have that one freaking seabird, okay? It's going to go land on this wind turbine and it's going to build a nest, and they're going to be like, oh my God, that's one of the endangered species of the Pacific Ocean off the west coast of of Oregon. Don't turn that wind turbine on. In fact, we got to shut all these wind turbines down because we can't damage this endangered species that's decided to nest on the wind turbine. Or it'll be like the one sea turtle that likes to swim north to the Arctic Ocean, And it'll like make a home on one of these floats. And they'll be like, oh my God, we got a sea turtle on the wind turbine. You know, and sure enough, people are going to be out there looking at all these big wind turbines like, oh, we're going to go out and catch some tuna today. Let's swing by the wind turbine farm. Oh, gosh, I'm not kidding. Okay, I didn't laugh this hard the first time I read this story. Maybe I didn't read it completely. Maybe I didn't think of it completely. Obviously not. The absolute worst idea ever. I can't wait to see who bids on it. Let's see, do they mention anything about people who would bid on it? Oh, Europe has some... Europe has some floating offshore wind. A project in the North Sea has been operating since 2017. But the potential for technology is huge in areas of strong wind off America's coast. Vice President of Offshore Wind at the American Clean Power Association. We know that this works. What? We know that this works. We know that this can provide a huge slice of our electricity needs. And if we're going to solve the climate crisis, we need to put as many clean electrons online as we can. Particularly given increases in load demand with electric vehicles, he said, we can reach our greenhouse gas goals only with offshore wind as part of the puzzle. Kind of makes me think of that little math experiment I did about figuring out how much you know property you needed to provide solar power for everybody in the United States, and it turns out we don't have enough land mass. And now I'm kind of wondering, so really honestly, I gotta ask you, so the wind turbines on the ground they're producing what, 8% at most? At their peak efficiency, they're producing 8% of the power in the Pacific Northwest. 8. So it kind of seems to me like, well, we haven't like maximized our efficiency of these wind turbines on land where we can actually like walk to them and work on them. But somehow the solution to greenhouse gas goals can only be with offshore wind as part of the puzzle. Like, I'm wondering how much, like, how many of these things are they going to need? And can you imagine this, honestly? I just find it hard to believe that the environmentalists are going to be like, yep, what we need is 100 billion floating wind turbines out in the ocean. Because I'm sure those big giant wind turbines and the floats and all that other stuff aren't going to change the environment that they're put in whatsoever. And I'm sure the cables, the submarine cables that they lay to bring the power back on shore, are not going to have any effect on the life on the floor of the oceans. Wait a minute, I just thought of this. It'll be longer, way longer than 25 miles. Because there's a little bit of an angle there in the shallow waters, and then you go to the deep waters where, hell, that cable may go a mile to the floor of the ocean or more. Yeah, I don't know, folks. I don't know. It just doesn't seem like a reasonable solution to me. Not at all. It's a joke. It's a joke. And you know me. I am going to continue to hammer on this ridiculous waste of money so I can make fun of every idiot that invests or leases ocean. I was going to say land, but I guess you're going to buy, lease some area of ocean. I got to see the details on this. Like how many acres, or I don't know, how do you measure it? How many gallons of water do you get to lease? Oh, not a good idea. And just think, so the cost of maintenance of these things are going to be, you know, like extravagant also, because you can't drive to them. Oh, you're going to take your electric boat, I guess, to them. Yeah, so you're gonna drive your electric boat out to each one, probably hook up, and oh, they'll probably all have a charging station so you can recharge your electric boat while you're doing some maintenance on them. Oh, yeah, I don't know. This just doesn't sound good at all. But let's get on to another funnier story. Okay, I can almost guarantee you I don't have a funnier story than this one. Honestly, this was like the funniest story of the day. Okay, funniest story of the week. Maybe the funniest story I've ever done. I don't know. Yeah, that was a good one. Okay, so let's get on to this. Now, this was kind of incredible. I'm not kidding. This really kind of blew my mind. So, this story here. Scientists reveal how powerful the human brain is compared to the fastest supercomputers in the world. Okay? It's a humbling thing to realize in this age of information that our human brain still remains such an enigma as we spend millions on developing ever more sophisticated supercomputers and expend enormous amounts of energy powering our devices. The ever-handy, efficient, and affordable human brain outperforms our top technology in a litany of ways. Here is a few. Check this out. It took 83,000 processors and 40 minutes for a supercomputer to simulate a single second of human brain activity. That is truly amazing. 83,000 processors and 40 minutes. Not 40 seconds, not 40 milliseconds or nanoseconds, 40 minutes to simulate a single second of human brain activity. You have an amazing brain. It's too bad more people don't use it. It's too bad that we are teaching young people to be stupid, sheeple, followers, not leaders, not questioners. I mean, it's amazing that your brain, 1 second of your brain would take. Do you know how much power that little experiment consumed? It says the computer at the time could accommodate a network model of 1.73 billion nerve cells, but the human brain, however, has some 100 billion nerve cells. To put that in perspective, the human brain has about as many neurons as there are stars in the Milky Way. I'm telling you. We are so fortunate to have this freaking organ in here that even today, and maybe there will come a time when they have some supercomputer that works at whatever speed and can, you know, simulate brain activity like your human brain does. Just think of the power that thing's going to consume. It's a good thing they're putting those floating wind turbines out there in the deep sea. We're going to need a lot of that power. Oh, I'm not kidding you guys. That was like one of the craziest things I've ever heard. Your brain is so cheap, it's free. Rare birth defects aside, we're all born with brains, and they fit right in our heads. The Tianhe 2 costs about $390 million to build, according to Forbes. At peak power, it drew more than 17.6 megawatts of power, and the computer complex covered about 2,300 square feet. Some other supercomputers deemed energy efficient consume about 8 megawatts. To put that in perspective, 1 megawatt equals 1 million watts. A 100-watt light bulb draws 100 watts as soon as it's turned on, since watt refers to the power used instantaneously. So the fastest computer in the world draws as much power as 176,000 light bulbs. And your brain, like, did this thing for free, basically, for whatever food you put in your body to feed your brain. All right. Amazing. Just amazing. At that time, the graphics unit inside an iPhone 5S produced about, some fraction of a petaflop. Thus, the fastest computer in the world was some 440,000 times faster than the graphics unit inside the iPhone 5S, but still slower than the human brain by orders of magnitude. Oh, and speaking of iPhones, let me see if I have this right. So, you Chinese people bought an iPhone so you could chat with your friends, TikTok to your heart's content, communicate in an emergency, and oh yeah, survive the COVID zero policy and lockdown. Oh, and record the cops and the CCP beating you and your friends and making them disappear. And Apple turns off the most critical app you have in this situation. Who actually owns your phone? And F you, Apple, for siding with the Communist Party versus the people of China. You're some sick bastards, honestly. Oh, but don't think you live in a country where, wherever you are, that you will not do this exact, that they will not do this exact same thing to you. No kidding, man. I've said this before. That electronic device you have, you may own something that part of it, maybe the frame, the plastic frame around it, but the rest of it isn't in your control. Do you remember back when some phone companies, mobile phone companies, were actually found guilty of screwing with your phone, so you had to go in and get a new phone? You remember that, like every 2 years, it's like, oh, my phone's overheating. Oh, my phone shuts down. Oh, I have to reboot, several times a day. Oh, it was the freaking company who sold you the phone, who has a contract on your phone, who's making you go get a new phone. Man, that's some crap. There's just some evil, greedy-ass people in the world, that's for sure. Yeah, but you don't own it. You buy an electronic book, you think you own that? Oh, no. You may own some print on a digital screen, but anytime somebody, like let's say the government, who colludes with private entities to change the text of those documents that are part of a book you thought you owned, and when you read it the first time, certain information was in there, and the government decides, you know what, we're going to collude with Random House, and we're going to force them to change the wording in all those history books. We're going to collude with them, basically tell them to change the history, so that now you open up that little novel that you were reading that was based on some historic fact. Oh, it's time to go. Thanks, you guys. I'll see you Sunday.
Thank you for listening to the Redneck Dennis Podcast. Please show your support for the podcast.
This podcast is not on the biggest platforms, but it is on the best free speech platforms. Until next time, remember, all bleeding eventually stops.